John 3:14-15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Those words come from when Jesus was speaking to a Jewish spiritual leader. That leader was amazed by what Jesus was doing and seemed to want to know who Jesus really was. Jesus had said to him, "To see God's kingdom, you have to be born again, born from above." But the man couldn't understand what Jesus meant. And Jesus is perhaps a bit exasperated. If this educated man can't understand just that, how will he understand what Jesus says next, what we've just heard? How will he believe the heavenly things that Jesus speaks about? And Jesus says what he teaches comes from all the authority and glory of heaven itself, because that's where Jesus uniquely comes from. But you know, what Jesus was doing should have been understood by the Jewish leaders. So much of it was there in the Old Testament. And surely that Jewish leader would often have thought about what was going on in their people's history. He would have known straight away what Jesus meant when he said, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert." Surely that would have reminded him that God always shows justice, always shows grace, and always calls for the response of faith. The Jewish leader would know that, but we might not. It's in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. It's page 159. It's from when the Israelites had been saved out of Egypt and were on their way to the promised land. It says, "They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go to Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food.' Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, 'We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, 'Make a snake and put it up on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at it and live.' So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived." In that story, God shows his justice because he judges their sin. Even though their sin to us was hardly something we even think was sinful. After all, it wasn't hurting someone else. It wasn't taking something that belonged to someone else. It wasn't involving sexual wrongdoing. But almost always, we cannot see how bad our sin is. They were failing to treat God as God. God's people were not happy with God. They were saying things like, "Why did you save us? And then things turned out so badly for us. We don't even have what we like eating and drinking. Nothing is really good. God, you have let us down. We're sorry you ever saved us. It was better when we weren't saved." God's people were so ungrateful to him. They treated God as if he were not the good God at all. And God had saved his people from being slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. God had sent Moses, who did great miracles in bringing plagues on Egypt from God. He led them through the Red Sea with the water piled up on either side, and then the water piling down on their enemies. That was no way to speak about God or to speak to God. Being ungrateful to God and failing to love God is evil. Being only concerned about our comforts and not trusting God is wicked in God's sight. Their not trusting God meant God punished them. After so many died from the venomous snakes, it brought them to their senses, and they called out to God in sorrow for their sins. They recognized God's justice. But Moses didn't just pray for their forgiveness. The Lord told Moses to make a bronze snake, and as people looked up at that, they could be saved from the venomous snakes. God showed his grace in forgiving them, and he reminded them of their sin, but he provided a remedy. But the people weren't automatically saved. They were only saved if they had faith to look up at the snake on the pole. The bronze snake brought a cure for their sinning against God, but they had to look up to the bronze snake. And Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. God's plan was that he himself, in his Son, would come from heaven and would be lifted up on the cross. Just as the snake on the pole was a sign of the judgment of God on their sins, Christ on the cross would be a sign of judgment on sin. Not his own sin, but our sins. God in human flesh would endure the shame and the curse of the cross to receive the judgment of God on our sins. That was God's grace, stepping in and doing what we did not deserve. The cross reminds us of our sin. And the cross is also our remedy, our cure, our forgiveness. But we are not saved unless we look to the cross, unless we look with faith to Jesus on the cross to save us. We see here God's severe justice, God's amazing grace, and our simple faith have always been God's way. We're going to spend a little time thinking about the verses now in silence.
I'll be reading from page 1066 in our Bibles, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
We finished our reading of John chapter 3, verse 15, with these words: the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And if we weren't sure who everyone was, now we know. God loves the world. God loves everyone, not just the Jewish people, not just the people who are alive at the time of Jesus, certainly not just Western people or English people. The justice and the grace of God are for all who have simple faith. Now, Jesus was explaining this well before the first Good Friday, but I don't think anyone remembered what he said when it actually happened. On the evening of Easter Day, two of his followers were walking home dejected. They thought Jesus was going to bring in an earthly kingdom and overthrow the Romans. How could someone who had raised people from the dead let Roman soldiers crucify him? How could someone with power to walk on water not have stopped this awful thing? The most significant thing in the history of the world up until that time had taken place. And Jesus has said it would take place. God was fulfilling the law. He was atoning for our sins. He was fulfilling Scripture. But people didn't understand it. Even those who'd been told about it beforehand had forgotten it. We often don't understand events. We often say to ourselves, how could God have allowed that to happen? Just as his followers did on Good Friday, not realizing that God's ways are not our ways. But this was hard to believe. Crucifixion was reserved for the worst criminals. How could God dishonor himself so much to allow his one and only Son to be crucified? God hates evil, yet he endures evil and piles it on himself on the cross. And God in Jesus sheds his blood in agony. How could God love the world that much? We hardly manage to love anyone but ourselves. How could God love us that much? But God is oceans of love. God's mighty love and pity and compassion are for the whole human race. And it is enough love and forgiveness for the worst and deepest and most frequent of sinners. God gave his Son as a sacrifice for our sins, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But it does not say that God gave his one and only Son so that everyone shall not perish but have eternal life. We have a personal responsibility to believe, because the only way to receive Christ's benefits is to have faith. And we don't need anything other than faith in order to be saved. We don't need to be perfect. We don't need to be better than most other people. We only need to believe. And nothing other than this faith can give us peace with God. Only through God's Son himself being in our place, the Son of Man and the Son of God, can our sins be atoned for. He fully represents us and he fully takes our place, so we can be fully confident that we will have eternal life. Without him, we perish in our sins. Not to believe in him is fatal. We will get what we deserve. Only in Jesus do we get what we do not deserve, eternal life. His death brings us life. His cross is our forgiveness. God has done all this for the world in his love. All we have to do is to believe. We have a personal responsibility to believe this, and without this belief, we are lost. But when we believe it, don't we also have a moral responsibility to share it? Christ's word is for everyone in the whole world. John's gospel ends with the risen Jesus. To Thomas, he says, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And there are many of us around the world today who have not seen Jesus Christ before his crucifixion or in his resurrected body. But the message of Jesus and the cross and resurrection has come to us, and we have believed. If we are here today, though, and have not yet believed, we could start today. We could say, Lord God, I admit that I've offended you by living as I please, as if you were not there. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me so I can be forgiven. I come to you. Please forgive me and come into my life by your Spirit to be my Lord from now on. I'd help you do that at the end of the service in a few minutes if you're ready at that point. But the way that message came to us was because people believed it and believed they ought to share it. Of course, even in this chapter, we'll see that not everyone will believe. Many will reject the message. But how can the world know the message unless we pray for it to go out? Unless we give for it to go out? Unless we're bold in telling others what is the hope for the world? And how can we be truly happy if people perish because they have never heard? If we're happy to keep this truth to ourselves, do we truly believe that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life? Now a time to think about the verse in silence ourselves.